like to move on to our next speaker, Dr. Jay Parsons. Jay has a teaching, research, and extension appointment at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Jay was formerly at Colorado State University and has worked with many producers around the country. He's also actively involved with his family's farm in western Nebraska, and I know also with his wife's agricultural business. So with that, Jay, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you talk about evaluating strategies.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, John, for your presentation on risk management strategies and what those look like. I'd like to move on now and talk a little bit about evaluating strategies. So some of this stuff John has already mentioned, so there'll be a little bit of a overlap in terms of risk itself. Just keep that in mind as we go through this. Evaluating strategies and evaluating decisions that go into them are intertwined, all along the way in the process. So let's start here with just this idea that risk management is a necessary but sometimes frustrating activity. As John alluded to before when he was talking about bad outcomes sometimes coming from good decisions, very good risk management strategies and decisions can still sometimes lead to bad outcomes because of the uncertainty involved. We never really know how the future will actually turn out until it actually does. That is why it's important to develop the habit of judging the quality of your risk management strategies based on the information available at the time the strategy was selected and not solely on those final results. Results are obviously important, but even high-quality, sound risk management strategies don't come with guarantees when we're faced with significant uncertainty. However, okay, if you do it right, they should be leading to more positive results more consistently. Another point to keep in mind is that a strategy is not carried out by a single decision. A strategy requires a series of decisions to keep things on track to achieve the desired outcome. As a result, strategies can fail for a number of reasons, but the most likely reason they flounder is when decision points across time don't add up to provide consistent support for the strategy selected. This can especially be true when various decisions are made and carried out by more than one member of a management team. Where there are more individuals involved, there's a lot of times a great variation in their understanding about a level of commitment to a selected strategy and all the effort that went into deciding that's the way the company wanted to move forward or the farm business wanted to move forward. It's worth repeating, again, that good strategies often don't work. Sometimes uncertainty just gets in the way and things don't work out. But don't let bad results automatically suggest that a better strategy was available at the time you made the decision. On the other hand, don't let good results automatically suggest that your strategy was the right one. You should constantly be in the mode of evaluating that strategy given the information you have available. For example, just because a cropping decision turned out poorly doesn't mean you're going to trash your whole crop rotation and move to something different. On the other hand, it could have turned out great, but that doesn't mean that you aren't headed for potential problems down the road if you continue on the same strategy that you're on. You should constantly be in the mode of evaluating where you are at. So let's talk for just a moment about specific decisions that we call strategic decisions. This might be a little bit overused terminology, and I think it's important to recognize when you are dealing with the strategic decisions. Strategic decisions might be classified as a subset of business decisions that are focused on selecting where the business should go in the future. So they're deciding the direction and selecting the strategy for how forward progress is going to be made. That's what makes it a strategic decision. The decision becomes strategic when the choice being made will guide future decisions. I think that's very important to understand, so I'm going to repeat that. A decision becomes strategic when the choice being made will guide future decisions. That's the easiest way to recognize when you're dealing with a strategic decision. So in the face of making decisions, okay, when you look at the choice you're about to make is something that you know are going to be guiding future choices, then you're probably in the midst of making a very strategic decision. Okay. when it comes to strategic decisions, a lot of people connect it to the concept of irreversibility. Many strategic decisions have an element of irreversibility to them. That's a given, okay? When you are making decisions that are going to require a large quantity of resources to be committed or a corresponding large number of steps to be implemented and management actions to be taken, this becomes very costly to undo. Therefore, we say it has a high degree of irreversibility. Irreversibility is an important element in recognizing the strategic aspect of a decision. However, it does not make all irreversible decisions strategic in and of themselves. Okay, so it's not a necessary and sufficient condition. Conversely, the degree of irreversibility for a particular decision suggests that other decisions that inform and guide that particular choice are more strategic. Let's consider an example, because this can be fairly confusing. Suppose you're a farmer or rancher and you're developing a marketing strategy, and you decide that as part of your strategy, you're going to use one or more contracting tools to look at locking in some at least 50% of your expected production costs. You want to lock in those revenues with prices by the middle of the summer. Okay, so you're sitting there saying, okay, I'm going to make sure I can at least get 50% of my production costs covered here, based off of locking in a contract on my crop. Okay, but you're leaving it open to what that contract might look like. Okay, that's a strategic decision. Okay, it's going to inform and guide future marketing decisions, many of which are irreversible, including the type of contract you actually enter into. So let's say you're a producer and you go in and you enter into a forward cash contract to actually deliver grain to a local elevator at harvest time. Of course, that's a very irreversible decision. You've made a commitment to deliver grain. You didn't have to make that decision itself. You could have done something else to achieve your strategy, but that's the one that you chose to do. That decision itself is not strategic, but it's basically carrying out your strategic plan. Okay, so it's deeply tied and deeply rooted in the overall marketing strategy. So to summarize this a little bit for you, it's just important to keep in mind at all levels that the greater the degree of irreversibility, whether it's a big investment in equipment or land or a marketing decision or hiring an employee or something like that, the greater care and diligence that should be taken in making that decision to make sure it actually aligns with your strategies. Okay, so evaluating strategies is a lot about evaluating the decisions that go into it, okay? Because the decisions are the process by which the strategy is implemented. They're the basic units of choice that the management uses to move the business forward. Those choices are evaluating alternatives, and it's evaluating those alternatives based on criteria that are laid out by the selected strategy that you have in place. So when it comes to evaluating decisions, there's a few key points to remember. Okay, first is where a decision is about moving the business forward. Okay, the assumption is that direction forward has already been determined by the selection of a strategy. Okay, so management's chosen the direction through some sort of process of weighing different factors and considerations and deciding on a strategy. And then you're going to actually make choices in the day-to-day grind that keep you moving in that direction. Second thing is not all decisions are equal in nature. Some, as we've already discussed, are irreversible and require a little more attention because there's a lot of money involved or a lot of considerations in terms of the cost of trying to get back out of that in some way or cover it if it doesn't work out. Some are more strategic decisions. Some are just more day-to-day implementation decisions. Okay. The third thing is that all types of decisions involve taking management action after considering many alternatives, okay, and how it will be carried out and when it will be completed. Okay. All right. So farm and ranch decision makers make thousands of decisions every day. Okay. These decisions shape their lives. They determine their futures. Some of them are very significant. Some of them might seem fairly minor. Some of the decision scientists argue, that the ability to make good quality decisions is actually contrary to human nature. We have stress, we have time constraints, we have uncertainty involved, and all of these can amplify into a situation that leads to a lot of mistakes that are difficult to overcome. So I think it's important to understand what a good decision looks like, okay, and get in the habit of trying to make your decisions fit this model. There are seven characteristics of a good decision. In the next few slides, I'm going to take a few moments to talk about the first two on this list and the last two on this list, as they're particularly pertinent to our discussion about evaluating strategies and the decisions that go into implementing. So let's start with the first one, having an appropriate decision frame. To make a good decision, decision makers need more than just a list of choices. An appropriate decision frame captures the context in which the decision is being made. This includes both the internal environment and the external environment. Above all, it also includes the objectives the decision maker is trying to accomplish by making the decision. These objectives are consistent with the strategy the decision is supporting. The second characteristic of a good decision is clear objectives and clear values. Why is this so important? Because the objectives form the decision criteria. They help determine what information to seek. They help explain the decision choice to others. They help determine how important the decision is to the people involved, as well as how much time and effort should be spent in making it. Looking at a decision, the decision maker should clarify or should clearly see how the choice made will help achieve those key strategic objectives it is designed to support. Okay, and it should also clearly see how the values reflected in that choice are better than the other alternatives available at that time. So those are the first two characteristics on this list. Items 3, 4, and 5 here are all very important, but they involve the process of digging in and actually making the choice. Okay, and in the interest of time, we're going to skip over those and go to items 6 and 7. Because they, like items 1 and 2 on this list, are very pertinent to our conversation today about evaluating risk strategies. So choice alignment with values and objectives. Okay, this is similar to characteristic 2 that we talked about, but this is kind of after you've made the choice, making sure that it actually aligns with the values and objectives. So good decisions are choices that are well aligned with decision makers' values and objectives. Okay. These are important factors that may get forgotten in the process of assessing alternatives and making the final selection. Often, it's easy to focus on single objectives when it comes to actually making the selection, and they become to dominate your mindset. But before you actually implement the choice, it's very important to do a quick reflection and make sure that the values and objectives are reflected in that choice so that you prevent that particular decision from moving you away from your strategic priorities. So again, this is all about making sure the decision aligns with the strategy. And then the last characteristic of a good decision is a commitment to implementation. Okay, when the decision maker evaluates a decision, you should carefully consider how committed you are to fully implement the choice. The decision maker wants to be able to say that the choice was implemented completely and with a committed effort to make it a success. Doing this consistently will more consistently produce good results and more consistently implement the strategy as it was intended. With uncertainty, nothing's guaranteed, but as long as you go through the process of making good choices that align with your strategies on a regular basis, you're going to provide the best opportunities to achieve success. So if you've made the choice on a strategy, you're making decisions along the way in the day-to-day operations, and they align with your strategy in terms of the objectives you're trying to achieve and the values you're trying to adhere to and so on and so forth, then it comes down to measuring progress and accomplishments. Managing any business is a challenge, and ag businesses are sometimes the hardest challenges. They are inherently dependent on uncertain weather and production and market risks that go with that. Even for people with a lot of experience, it can present tremendous challenges. Although weather patterns typically follow regular seasonal movements and commodity markets follow regular movements, these things can significantly influence the outcome and the actual manager's experience with a particular strategy. Many managers make decisions with the intention of moving the business in a particular direction rather than to reach a specific performance target. For example, they're more likely to select a crop rotation with the intention of making an overall profit and to manage risk through a strategy of diversification rather than achieve a specific target earnings on each crop or a particular risk goal based on where the field is that the crop is raised. In addition, they're very likely to take into account soil health and fertility, market price, knowledge of the crops that they're actually raising, and a host of other considerations. The point here is that risk is inherent in this process. Okay, as a result, most manage with the objective of making progress toward their goals rather than developing a laser focus on a specific decision. Many aspects of ag repeat from season to season. While there are obvious differences one year to the next, planting, cultivating, and harvest of this year's crop of corn very likely will be similar to last year. With each passing year, the manager gains additional experience in managing the resources employed in raising their crop and or livestock. Changes for most operators is often introduced gradually. This in itself is a risk strategy. Okay? Not everything has changed overnight, even with the prospect of making high earnings. So learning to manage seasonal variations in the production process requires an understanding of the relationship between the options available and the corresponding costs and expected benefits. For many involved in agriculture, this concept is readily associated with advances in technology, especially recently. In the past, we've seen changes in irrigation technology, new fertilizers introduced, availability of new, highly effective chemicals for controlling weeds and insects, and we've also seen some chemicals become less effective in controlling weeds and insects. And then we have the mechanization, okay, all kinds of new equipment coming onto the horizon, and each of these leaves their mark on ag and changes the situation that you're dealing with. These advances give managers greater flexibility with the production approaches available, as well as often increasing the chances of success. When these new techniques and controls become available, they offer managers the flexibility to manage risk and the associated variability better. As such, approaches used in the past may become outdated in terms of how effective they are or in terms of the benefits they return. Today's managers must continue to evaluate strategies and approaches that become possible with new technologies and methods for resource management in order to remain competitive. So with this becomes the importance of updating your goals and objectives. So in certain circumstances for some operations, the continuing need to update these management approaches can lead to the decisions to drop specific strategies that they have followed in the past and to replace them with new strategies. It may even mean no longer growing a certain crop or raising a particular livestock that they've traditionally done in their operation. Such choices can sometimes be very difficult for the individuals involved. In other cases, decision makers may decide that the goals pursued in years past, perhaps by a previous generation, are just no longer possible to achieve, or maybe they're no longer relevant to the operation. As a result, it may be more appropriate to change those goals and objectives for the operation rather than change the approach being used. This can be especially true in recent years when we've seen many advances in technology and labor-saving approaches for traditional ag enterprises. So when is a strategy successful? Consider again our description of a strategy, the means by which a person or a business plans to use resources to reach the ends they desire. In this way, strategies imply that you have a goal, that you have resources to work with, and you have a method or approach for action that leads you towards your goal. Within this context, success would likely be described as goal attainment with minimal resources and actions required. Where a goal has a high priority, the consequences for failing to reach the goal are high, or the probability of a bad outcome increases when the goal is not reached. This suggests that more resources and more actions would be justified. However, as we mentioned earlier, some goals, certain levels of resource use, and beyond some level of action, goal attainment may not be justified. In this light, evaluation of the success or failure of a particular strategy is an exercise in weighing the result or the benefit versus the cost of achieving that success. Certainly where management has decided to pursue a given strategy, that cost-benefit balance was likely considered. However, the planning and the reality that follows often might be quite different. A strategy is not accomplished through a single decision, remember. Rather, it's a series of decisions that take place over time that are hopefully moving you toward that desired goal. In this way, evaluating the success or failure of a strategy is not accomplished by looking closely at the individual stages, but rather weighing everything together in an attempt to evaluate whether the collective benefits outweigh the identifiable cost. Is the strategy delivering the results that the management had in mind when the choice was made? So some final points here. Keep in mind that while a strategy may be judged as success after a period of time has elapsed, there may be adjustments needed for that strategy to continue working, or alternative strategies may have become available that were not an option when the original choice was made. As such, proactive and forward-looking managers should reevaluate their mix of management strategies for the current enterprise mix on some periodic basis. This might best be done by involving other members of the management team to increase the opportunities of gaining new insights, or of looking at the same management challenges but seeing alternative strategies as a possible solution. Where the management team is small with limited outside experience, it may be justified to hire an outside consultant or some other expert for their unique perspective on the challenges and suggestions for alternative strategies. And I think that's my final slide here, Jeff.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jay. Appreciate that. You gave us some great information about evaluating those risk strategies and our decisions. I know I especially liked your comment that we cannot make perfect decisions with perfect outcomes. Makes me feel a lot better, and I need to share that with others, that I'm not perfect. But anyway, we had a few questions come in, and I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, share two of those questions with you before we continue. And as you're asking, responding to those, if the audience wouldn't mind responding to the polling questions that are coming up on their screen. So you talked about evaluating the strategies and making decisions about that. How often should you do that? Should it be annually, monthly? Is there some other time frame or points at which you should kind of wholesale evaluate those decisions and strategies?
That's a good question, Jeff, because it should be an ongoing evaluation, because it really should be an evaluation of all the decisions that are going into that strategy to make sure that they're aligned with the strategy. So in that respect, it should be ongoing. However, strategy is a little bit more long-term, and it needs to be done in the overall strategy as far as changing directions or abandoning a strategy. That decision is a fairly significant one, and it needs to be done in the context of the time frame over which you are expecting to implement the strategy. So, say a marketing plan that's on an annual basis, at the time you do that, you might have certain trigger points in there that might take you in one direction or another as a part of the plan. But the overall evaluation of that strategy would probably be an annual event, if you will, as you think of how you're going to market your crop. Something else like a crop rotation, or maybe something that you're doing on a land purchase, those you're looking at, you know, further down the road as some different strategies that you have there. Equipment ownership is one of them. Do you lease? Do you buy? Same thing with the land. Do you lease? You buy? Those are a little bit more longer term, so you need to look at those in the context of how long out you expect to be implementing that strategy. But the evaluation is ongoing, if you will. But you don't want to abandon them too early before you know that you fully implemented them.
Okay, great point. So the second question and final question, and I'm selecting from some here, and I apologize to those people that we don't get to have time to ask all their questions. What is the best way to keep multiple decision makers making decisions consistent with that strategy? So you have multiple managers on your ag enterprise, and how do you keep them all going in the same direction consistent with that selected strategy?
Well, if I had to just use one word, it'd be communication. And, you know, unfortunately, farmers and ranchers aren't known to be the best communicators, especially with their staff that works for them, or maybe family members that they're working with. So that's the number one piece there. And I really cringe because so few people actually write down business plans and write down business strategies. But that's by far the best way to communicate it, is to put it into words, make sure it's in front of everybody and everybody's aware of it, and it's easy for them to access. And, you know, John mentioned some of those different risk management strategies. Say it's maintaining reserves of some sort, hay reserves. You know, you don't want to have somebody that's managing the cattle that has that as part of their strategy, and then somebody else is doing the haying over there, and all of a sudden they're selling all your hay, and you know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So that's why it's important to have regular meetings. It's why it's important to put things in writing, and map out those strategies, and make sure everybody's aware of them. And don't be afraid to put things on paper.
Sure. Right. And especially it seems important in agriculture where they have to make, even if it's a single decision maker, there are so many decisions being made each and every day that it's important to keep that strategy in mind. So thank you for that, Jay.